Custer will win.
Right.
Okay, you're on, man.
Come on.
I don't know if you want to. You can put it in the pocket. Whatever you want to do with it, bro.
Okay. Let's fill this water. Hey, good morning.
Man!
That disturbed me. Okay, communion. So, like 20 minutes? 20 minutes? Huh? Okay, yeah, sure. Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for inviting me back. You know, men's breakfasts have always been a big deal in my life because when I first got saved, the Baptist church that I was, you know, I used to be a Jehovah's Witness. And so when I got saved, I snuck off and had men's breakfasts with the Baptists. The Jehovah's Witnesses didn't know I was going to a Baptist church, and the Baptists didn't know I was coming out of Jehovah's Witnesses. It was kind of interesting. I'll put this over here. But I was saved, and that was a cool thing. So I kept moving, and here I am today. So really, men's breakfasts are a big deal. I learned a lot. I got a lot of good discipleship and mentoring, and the Lord really took me through a lot. So at some point I said, you know, I'm leaving. You guys are going to the Baptist church, and they thought that I was, you know, out of my mind. But in reality, I was in the Spirit. The Lord bless us this morning as we look at 2 Kings chapter 22. Lord, I've been praying about this last night and this morning, and Lord, I want to just represent you through this. I want you to bless me and bless my brothers here. So, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that you do that. Open our eyes and our ears what the Spirit has for us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. I should never eat before I speak because I get a little phlegm here, so I apologize for that. Anyway, listen. 2 Kings chapter 22. Let me just set this up real quick. You know, you have all these kings, the Chronicles, 1 Kings, you have all these kings that were ruling in Jerusalem, right? And most of them, like 95% of them, all did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's exactly what they did. They did their own thing. They forgot about the temple. They forgot about the Book of the Covenant. They forgot about God. And they just did what they thought was good, because they were king. And it's good to be king, right? It's good to be king. You get to do what you want to do. A few men did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And this 2 Kings will go over that. Let me set this up again because when you look at the Bible, what I was taught in the Bible college was, it's called the inductive Bible study. Some of you have heard of that before, inductive Bible study, IBS. And what you do is you observe. And observing is reading the passage, right? You read it. And then you read it like maybe five times. And then you interpret it. What is this? What is God teaching me here? The interpretation of this. This is pretty simple. This is just history being written out. But then lastly, it's called application. So you read this. You interpret what's going on. And then you apply it in your life. Because if you don't apply it in your life, what good is it? You know, I got this knowledge, but it's not in my heart. It's not teaching me what I need to know here. So we go through this verse, chapter 22. We're going to read it. We're going to interpret it. And then we're going to apply it. Okay? Because that's the way I learned. And that's what works for me. And I think it worked for you too. It's a pretty good plan. You know, when I walked in here this morning, the Iron Man here, 3-minute testimony, describe your pre-Christian life, your encounter with Christ, and your changes in life. And when I looked at that, I thought, this is exactly, to me, this is exactly what this is all about. When you apply this, I'm going to apply this way. Before I was a Christian, when I became a Christian, and the changes in your life after you're a Christian, that's what we're all looking for, right? So, this is going to happen to this young man named Josiah here. Although he wasn't a Christian, but still, I think you'll get it. I'm going to read this to you, okay? Read along with me. It won't take that long. This is out of the New American Standard. This is the actual translation that Jesus used. It's a joke. It's a joke. Okay, well, whatever. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, this little kid, now Josiah, his father died. His father died, and Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. 8 years old. When Josiah was 8 years old, he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah and Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. Nor did he turn to the right, or to the left. Now it came about the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah and the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered for the people, and let them deliver it into your hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters, and the builders, and the masons, and for the buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only, verse 7, only no accounting, don't worry about where the money's spent. Only no accounting shall be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully." Note that. Verse 8, then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. He read the book. They found a book in the temple. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, Josiah, and brought back word to the king, saying, "Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And it came about when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. And then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Milkiah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Azaziah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, and the people, and all Judea, and all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah, the priest, and all those guys went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tibgah, the son of, a lot of names here, Harus, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. And she said to them, this prophetess said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord." Go tell Josiah, this man who sent to you, sent you to me. "Behold," this is the prophet, the prophetess. Verse 16, "Behold, I bring an evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard. because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all evil which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. And then 23, I won't read it, but in 23, you should read that later on if you would, because when they come back and tell Josiah this, he gets on fire, man. I mean, he is on fire. And he cleans that place up. I mean, he's not kidding around, man. Everything, it's good to be king, right? You get everything you want. You got 100 wives. You got horses. You got authority and power. When they came back to, after the prophet has said this, they went back to the king. He didn't care about that. You can read in 23 exactly what he does. Exactly what he does. All right. So how did? Okay. Well, what about this? So what does this mean? Well, it means that there was kings all through these time periods that mostly did evil in the sight of the Lord, and somehow even Josiah's father did evil in the sight of the Lord. But Josiah, when he was 8 years old, there was a group of people around him, somehow men and women that taught him good. They taught him how to do good things. And Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's exactly what happened. He's 8 years old. She's 9. So at her age, she would be the queen. It'd be, what does she know? Although she's a good reader. So somebody was raising this kid up, Josiah, for the king. And at some point, he matured. And at some point, he was trying to do the right thing. So that's the interpretation here, right? Y'all agree with me? I mean, just, you know, fundamentally. So he's starting to do the right thing. In fact, you know, I was at that temple, and that temple's kind of messed up. Some of you guys are carpenters in here, and I don't know for sure. I don't know, but I'm just like thinking that this temple was broken down. People were going in there, and they were obviously they were giving tithes and offerings when they went in, but it was like dirty and something's wrong. It was broken down. Nobody was using it. Why? Because all those other kings, what'd they do? They forgot about the temple. They forgot about the book. They forgot about everything except, hey, let's build a new idol here. Let's build an altar here. Let's burn incense to that. Oh, we got some new people coming into town. Hey, let's build your idol. Let's build your God. And everything was everything except for the Lord, for the Lord's temple, for God's temple, for God. The living, the true living God, they forgot about him. Would you agree with that? At this time. Something Josiah said, something, I don't know what happened. The Holy Spirit, I don't know. Go up and fix that temple up. Take all that money we have been saving up, take it and go fix the temple. Go buy whatever, go to Home Depot, go buy whatever you want to buy. I don't need a receipt, by the way, because I know that those men, those carpenters, those masons, the builders, the people in that temple, I know that they're men of integrity, women of integrity. So don't bring me a receipt. Don't keep a count. Just give them the money. They'll take care of it. Isn't that kind of a great reputation to have? I mean, think about it. That's the king. And so while they're in there, and I'm sure Shaphan, he's telling them what to do. Yeah, the king wants it this way, and he'll make sure you build it nice, and here's the money, do whatever. And then they're going through the back rooms, and they're doing it all of a sudden. There's this book. And I just imagine the book. Imagine the book, and it's all dusty. Maybe it's under a pile of boards, or maybe other documents, or whatever. And they wipe away everything. And they take this book and they're getting all the dust off of it. And then at some point, this man who was overseeing that building thing, he opens that book up and he starts to read it. He starts to read that book. And what do you think happened? What do you think happened here? He looked at it, he read it, and he goes, oh my gosh, I think I remember my parents and my grandparents tell me about this book, but I've never read it. This book hasn't been read for 100 years. This book has been lost. So he took the book, he read it. What did he do? He went back to the king. He took the book back to the king and said, "King, I've done everything you told me to do, by the way. I've accomplished what you told me. I followed orders here. But I found a book, and I think you ought to hear this book. I think you ought to listen to this." And they read it to the king. And this was the Book of the Covenant. This was Moses' words. This was the beginning of the New Testament. The Old Testament. This was it. And he read it to them. He read it to the king. And what did the king do? He ripped his clothes, right? What does that mean to you? What does that mean? If you read something, if you got a letter in the mail, let me just get your letter in the mail, and you were distraught and you ripped your clothes, it's not good news, is it? I mean, think about this. Again, it's just me. Maybe it's just me. Maybe you're not feeling this like I do. I love this, man. When I read this, I wept. Because this is so much like us. It's ridiculous. I mean, to apply this right now, man, is unbelievable. It's supernatural. And he opened that book and he read it and he found out that, guess what? We have, even though I'm trying to do good inside of the Lord, we're all going to hell. He's going to destroy this place. God is angry with us. We have not followed anything. We haven't listened to him. We've been doing other stuff. And even though I'm trying to do good, I fall very, very short of this glory of God in this book. And I believe, and Josiah believed that that was the book. That was God's word. Are you getting a personal application here? Are you feeling it? You should. Think about it. If you don't, start praying. So, Josiah says, "Man, I need, oh gosh, I don't know what's going on here, but something big has happened here. Take this book and put it down here. Go to the prophetess. We trust her. I know she's listening to God. Go ask her what we should do." And he did. And he sent him out there and asked the prophetess. And the prophetess said this, and I'll just make this short. Because you read the book, because you humbled yourself, because you ripped your clothes up, because you were humiliated by your ignorance, because you are listening and you're crying out to God right now, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. God's not going to visit judgment on your generation, Josiah. But as soon as you're gone, that's it. Because you humbled yourself, I'm gonna stop the judgment on you and your generation, and I'll wait till the next generation. That's exactly what's happening here. Okay, so we've read it, we've interpreted it. Now, how do we apply this? Okay, I say this, and it's just for me, my application here. Maybe you can bear witness with it. As much as we want to do the right thing, right? And we do. I think most of us here, whether you're a new turn or whether we've been Christians for a long time, it doesn't matter. Most of us want to do the right thing. We want to support the church. We want to be kind to people. We want to do all the good things that we think that are good. And somehow Josiah was raised up with that. Not his father. His father never taught him this. But some people did. Some people, when he was growing up at 8, 9 years old, brought him up in the ways of the Lord to some extent. But he still didn't know anything. He never read the book. He was just going by what people and just trying to do good, right? And good is good. But somehow, in God's sovereignty, and I love this, he gets the book opened up to him. And somebody read it to him, and he probably read it himself. And he was convicted in the Spirit. The Spirit, God, the Spirit, opened his eyes and his ears and showed him exactly, you thought you were doing good, but here's my good. Here's my good. Josiah's down here. God is up here. This is God's good. And he goes, I just like to put myself there, you know. Ripped his clothes, and he probably wept. He was on his knees going, oh my gosh, I never saw this. And he inquired of the Lord. That's what happened. So that's kind of like me. You know, I was going along in life, and I was doing good. I never robbed anybody. I never killed anybody. I thought about killing people, but I never did. And I had a nice family. I read the Bible, but a lot of Jehovah Witness stuff, you know. I never read the Bible, though. I never read verse by verse like we've been blessed with, you know, with Pastor Chuck and Pastor Brian and the churches you go to. But I never read the book. And then somehow, God in his sovereignty showed me, opened my eyes and my ears, and I started reading the book. And in some way, not actually, but in some way, I tore my clothes. I tore my clothes. I got on my knees and I inquired of the Lord. And he showed me the true and living way. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what God did for me. And then I took it to my family. And when you read chapter 23, you're going to see this. And in chapter 23, what he does, Josiah got ghosted. He got spiritually ghosted, right? And in chapter 23, he gets rid of every nasty, evil thing in his kingdom, the best of his ability. And that's what I did. When I got born again, when I got saved, I, through all my Russellite, Jehovah's Witness books, my cult books, I threw it all in my trash. Everything. I cleaned house. I had, you know those big old 55-gallon containers, you know, that the trucks come along and dump? I filled two of those up. Two of them. And I still found some other ones. I threw them away later. But that's what he did. That's why I love this. That's when I was going through my devotions. I go through Genesis to Revelation. I probably do it like once every 4 years. I get through the whole Bible. Just my devotions. Maybe a chapter or two a day. This is me. This is me. This is you. That's the application. Doing good, doing well, having fun, doing the right thing. And then you read the book and go, oh man. Rip your clothes. And then you get to it. Or, I read the book, and I just didn't care, and I just went on my only way. That's the bad thing to do. Josiah did the right thing. And guess what? Here's the bummer. After everything he did, guess what? His son, who was the king, did evil in the sight of the Lord. I don't get that. You're raising up your daughter in the ways of the Lord. I raised my kids up in the ways of the Lord. We have to do the best we can raising up our kids in the ways of the Lord. So that's the story of Josiah. Please don't leave here without applying that to your life, however it works for you. Let the Lord lead. There was a guy, I'll close with this. There was a guy that came up at our church, at the Costa Mesa Church there. I was up front praying with people. And he was asking for prayer from a couple of us, pastors. And he goes, yeah, I got in this fight with this guy at my house, and you know, it was her daughter, and both of them were up there, and the police came, and this guy actually went to jail. They actually cited him for assault and battery on the son. So I said, okay, well, sure, we'll pray for you, man. I hate that family violence is, you know, it's wicked. And I said, how long have you and your wife been married? Oh. Well, we're not married. Oh. Okay. So, you're living in a house and you're living in a separate bedroom and she's like renting a room to you? No. Are you sharing the same bed with her? Yeah, we've been living together for 7 years. Okay. I said, you're sleeping with a woman, not your wife. Is that correct? Yeah. I said, well, why do you think crazy stuff is going on in your house right now? You're in sin, son. What are you doing? I mean, I said, what are you thinking? Listen, I've been going to church here for 13 years. I've been sitting under Pastor Chuck for 13 years. I know what the Bible says. Bada, yada, yada, yada. Kind of got in my face. I said, well, okay. Okay. You've been going to church here for 13 years. Now, I know our church goes through the Bible verse by verse. So it's impossible to escape anything. You can't escape anything. No, you can't pick and choose here. We go through all the whole Word. And you've probably been through the Word twice with Pastor Chuck, at least, in 13 years. Usually it's about 5 years, 5 or 7 years you went through the whole Bible, right?
Yeah.
Approximately. So you never heard about this kind of sin? No. Well, sir, your problems in your home are because you're in sin. You see, my point of bringing that up is, and he was mad, he left. He left the church. And he's back now. He kind of avoids me, and I haven't seen a girl with him. But I wasn't I was actually amazed that he said that he was a Christian doing the right thing, sleeping with this woman. But what it really was is that it was a marriage, it was a relationship of convenience. Why do I tell you that story? I'll tell you why I tell you that story. Because see, that man believed he was doing the right thing. He was fine. He was okay. Okay? Until somebody opened a book to him and said, you know what? Guess what? You're not... You can't do that. You can't do this. And there's two choices you make when you find out about that you're not doing right in the sight of the Lord. Men? Me? Believe me, I've been there. You close the book up and you move on. Or you read the book and have a come to Jesus meeting. And I've had a few of them myself. Come to Jesus meetings are good. Holy Spirit conviction is very, very good. Amen? All right. So, let's do communion. I'm going to pass out communion. While they're passing it out, you do some worship?
Yeah.
You want to lead it? Lead it?
Yeah.
Okay. I love your daughter. She's great. Now there, behold, Mary and Martha put together. I love that. I should bring my grandkids here. They love this. We can bring kids, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of you are very seasoned Christians here, and some of you are new Christians. But regardless of you're seasoned or new, we have a propensity. And what that means is a propensity is we have this way about us that often we forget about the book, our Bible. We do. I forget. If I become an angry man, you know, I have an anger problem. And the Lord has had to... I'm not a cop anymore because I have an anger problem. But God took me out of that. And when I forget about the Lord helping me with my anger problem, sometimes I forget. You know, I have to go back there. Or my wife will send me back there. She says, you know, the anger of man, there's no righteousness in it. Zero. You know, or whatever you're dealing with in life, you know, everybody has something different. I get it, okay? Mine's anger. It's not pornography, although some men are in pornography. Mine's anger. I have an anger problem. I want to fight people. And it's crazy because it's cost me career. It's almost cost me my family. But then God opened the book up to me. And I haven't closed it yet. And I pray to God that it never, ever ends up somewhere in my garage under a bunch of tools or toys because I just forgot about God. And that's what the power of the Holy Spirit's about. Let's all hold up. Sometimes people get a little uncomfortable with this, but I'm sorry. I have the privilege and the honor of leading this morning, and it is a privilege and honor. You know, this is a cracker. It's a man-made thing, But to me right now, to me personally, Will Lynn, this is Jesus' flesh right here. You can call it what you like. You can call it a cracker. You can call it whatever. But this, to me, this is the flesh of God right here. Not actually, I get it. But I mean, this to me. When I eat this, I'm eating the flesh of Jesus, right? Aren't you? I hope you are. If you're eating a cracker, I don't know what good is it. He says, eat my flesh in remembrance of me. So, as I eat this, as we eat this, we do this in the remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said, eat this in remembrance of me until I return. So spend a couple of seconds, maybe, I don't know, 15 seconds, remembering Jesus and the crucifixion. And then just partake of it together, okay? Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for, Lord, you, we're remembering you by the food we eat here. And Lord, we love food and we love you more. So Lord, as we partake of this wafer, Lord, we partake of your flesh. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let's partake. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Lord, thank you for taking the beating you took. Thank you, Lord, for spilling your blood to save Will Lynn and all these men here. All who believe are saved by your blood, Lord. Thank you. It's the greatest gift that we could ever receive. It's the greatest gift you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And of course, he poured wine. He called this blood. But, you know, we know it's juice. I get it. But to me right now, this is Jesus' blood to me. You call it what you like. I don't want to eat a cracker and I don't want to drink any juice. I want to partake of Jesus' flesh and his blood this morning, right? Amen? Think about it. So, you ever bled before, gentlemen? I have. I'm getting older. I hit something, I'm bleeding. The blood drips off. Skin's getting thinner. But Jesus was in the prime of his life. He was a carpenter. He hit his finger or something like that. He didn't probably bleed that much. He was tough. He was perfect. But when they beat him and that blood dropped down, he said, apostles, disciples, followers of me, I want you to, when you eat of this bread, remember me. When you drink this wine, remember me until I return. Is everybody ready for his return? Is anybody not ready here? Is everybody a believer here? If you're not a believer, come see me. Come see Dan. Come see Renee. Come see somebody. So, as they did a couple thousand years ago, let's spend about 15 seconds or so just thinking about personally thanking Jesus, and then we'll partake together. Lord, we've taken your flesh, and now, Lord, we're going to drink your blood right now. And Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we were headed for hell, and now our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Lord. What a miracle. What a supernatural event this is, Lord. We partake, Lord, of you, your flesh and your blood, until you return. According to your word, Lord, you said do this. We do this in obedience to you and love for you. And we have an attitude of gratitude this morning, Lord, like I've never had. So, Lord, we take this as men together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's partake.